Hello, 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 and welcome to Buzzed Binging. My name is Natalie.
And I'm Christy, her mom.
And today we are going to be covering season 3, episode 11 of Ted Lasso called Mom City.
Yeah, Mom City. And since I'm a mom, yep. Yeah. Not really relevant, but okay.
I mean, it has to do with the title, so I'm sure.
Sort of, sure. And we are getting to the end of this season, and we're kind of starting to see some things wrap up. So we're going to talk about this episode, and we have our usual caveats and disclaimers and things like there will be cursing, and there's going to be, I guess, some spoilers for the episode, predictions for the wrap up, which I think have been pretty consistent throughout. And what else? We're having things to drink. What are you having to drink?
Ginger ale. Are you okay?
Sorry. Yeah, you're having ginger ale. I am having hot chocolate with a little bit of cinnamon on it. I think the cinnamon is like reacting. Like I inhaled it.
Yeah.
But I had a little cinnamon on it. I have that kind of once upon a time thing going on, which yeah, someday yeah. we might actually wow. do once upon a time.
That would take so, I that, that would sounds be like a fucking nightmare. Yeah, I'm so sorry. But like for anyone who has watched Once Upon a Time, you have so much shit to keep track of. I think I would go insane.
Yeah.
Because I try to like get all the plot points, but like they're with two simultaneous like universes. It'd be so hard to explain. It would just be so no. I right. love Once Upon a Time. Well, I love the first couple seasons of Once Upon a Time. I won't say all of it.
First couple seasons were great.
Yeah, up to maybe like season 4 was really, really good.
Yeah.
I love season 3.
So like, we are going to give it, you know, a shout out if you want to watch a fun show that is a good show.
Disney characters in the real world kind of thing. And then
yeah, it's cool.
It's a remix on like classic fairy tales. It's fun. And
it's well acted. And the first several seasons are very well written. And then it kind of goes off the
rails. Well, then they try to like do something weird. I don't know.
It just tried several things where there was
a spinoff show.
It's a good show.
Oh my god. No, not season 7.
No, I'm talking about the Wonderland.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah, that was a brief one, but I kind of enjoyed that until I like grew up and figured it out. That I was like, yeah, I didn't know. That's not good writing.
No. But, it was rather silly, but it was fun.
I liked it for a minute.
Yeah.
I liked the love story aspect, but I didn't really.
Yeah. But anyway, if you are looking for a fun show to watch. It's a fun show to watch. We are probably not going to cover it because we have Downton Abbey coming next after we get done with Ted Lasso.
And that should be soon now that I think about
it. We're going to have to make a plan.
Maybe even more stuff that's coming, like maybe Game of Thrones. Maybe like,
please God, we're going to do Game of Thrones.
We'll get to it. I can watch that. Here's the thing. I will let our listeners in on a little bit of our logic here. Mm-hmm. We have Downton Abbey, all the seasons on DVD at our house.
True.
It is harder to find Downton Abbey on streaming services, and it's just easier to like do it without commercials from like Prime or Hulu or whatever. It's just easier to use the DVDs. So that while I'm up here over the summer, like it just seems easier. That's what I think.
Okay.
And I literally have HBO Max. So
right. Like,
don't
so Game of Thrones should still be available.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, all
I don't
stuff.
See that being deleted off of HBO Max.
That would be dumb.
That would be the most stupid choice. Like it changes to Max and like no Game of Thrones.
Changes to Max, no Game of Thrones, and we get rid of Harry
Well, no Game of Thrones season 8 or something.
Well,
I would think we should have that.
We'll have to hunt down season 8. That'd be pretty fun. Anyway, so
off of that tangent.
Yeah, okay. We are actually here to talk about Ted Lasso. And this episode starts with like 60s game show theme song music.
Mm-hmm.
Ted's walking through the little village where he lives, and there's an old lady doing a walk of shame, and the wanker
He's
guy.
He's greeting everybody. It's really right. nice. And then he walks past this bench, this bus bench or whatever.
Yeah.
And or park bench.
Bus stop.
Kind of. Yeah, that kind of thing. And he sees this woman who has a suitcase, and he stops. And he's like, "Mom." So I guess his mom's in town.
Yep.
And then Nate is now working at Taste of Athens,
and he's cleaning.
Some of the players are looking for Nate. I have this quote, but I have no idea. Like it's been. I will again. Like for context. We watched this on Wednesday when it came out.
Lots of stuff
then. It is now Sunday, So random quotes that I have make no sense for me, but I just have this quote, no such man exists.
Yeah, that's Jade. So they ask for Nate and she's like, because I guess, you know, she's whatever.
She's trying to like cover for him or whatever and be like, right. no such man exists here.
Right. So it's Will, Colin, and Isaac, and they are asking Nate to come back. They say the team voted, but Bumbercatch abstained.
Because he doesn't believe in democracy.
Right, but Ted doesn't know that they voted to ask Nate to come back.
Can we stop for just 1 second and just talk about how stupid that is? Yeah. Because I'm sorry, like the last time the players even thought about Nate was at the match with West Ham, mm-hmm. and they like assaulted the team because they were so mad at me.
Yeah, we see why this transition, this mental like, transition.
I would see it if like Ted made the first move of like, hey, let's do a vote. Would you guys be comfortable doing this? Or if anybody else did this other than the team, because they have been so anti Nate because of you, like especially since they
And as we will see in this episode, there are other people that are associated with the team that are very anti Nate.
Well, at least one.
What the hell?
But I'm just kind of like, where the fuck did this come from?
Yeah, left field. There's a lot of weird.
It also hasn't been like explained that he quit and didn't get fired. Like they don't know that, so that's not a possibility of like, oh, he quit. That means he has more morals than we thought.
There's none of that. But they do. Nate's like, well, you know, I'm not going to come back, basically, because Ted doesn't know that you've asked. But they all want to order some kebabs and they're like, and he
like 75 kebabs.
Yeah. And he's like, well, how about we do like however many
25 lamb, 25 chicken, and 25 beef.
And they, oh, Nate the Great. That's so smart. Like, okay.
Whatever. Well, and Nate talks to Jade briefly and she's just like, I think it's a good idea. And he's just like, no, it's not a good idea. You have no idea how I left things with them. It's not great. And I'm like, yeah, exactly. But also the fact that they didn't, like, I understand why he doesn't accept because Ted doesn't know. And he's the one who could hire him back. He has the power to do that. This is not like,
team decision. Like, this isn't something that this team chooses. This is not how that works.
No, it's
and Rebecca is actually the person who hires. So,
yes, it's important to know that the team is on board with it, but it's not a requirement. So I don't know what the fuck's going on.
Right. So then we cut to Ted's mom, who is in Ted's apartment.
She eats the counter peanut butter, I'd like to say.
Yeah, with her finger. And she explains that she'd been staying in a hostel for like a week and didn't tell her son she was in the country.
With some horny Australians.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy.
This is the second time they've mentioned Australians are horny.
Whatever.
At the very beginning of the season with Sharon,
she's
the therapist. She's with an Australian.
Okay, whatever. But Ted then invites his mom to come to work with him. Then we cut to a press conference, and Sam, Roy, and Jamie are handling this press conference, and Roy calls out to better Trent, and Jamie's just is like being
so
weirdly self-effacing. Like he's just, it's not just humble, it is like, I'm a bad person for even thinking I did a good job.
Well, Jamie was named Premier Player of the Month or year. I don't know if it's
I think it's a month.
And he feels bad about it for whatever reason. It's like, well, it's a team effort. They should be named the Player of the Month. I shouldn't be Player of the Month or whatever. I'm like, dude, it's great that you're being humble, but this is way too far.
Right, and it's clear like he's actually depressed.
Mm-hmm.
So and that will come up again in a little bit. Then we see that Rebecca is in her office and Ted brings his mom in.
The mom's name is Dottie, by the way.
But Rebecca realizes it's Ted's mom just by the way she talks. It's like, oh, you must be Ted's mother.
I'm so excited to meet someone who made one of the nicest people I know.
Right, and she's very sweet. Yes. And so then we see that Ted's mom is holding court in the locker room.
Well, she also said that she's really excited to meet Danny and all that stuff. So, like, she goes into the locker room and, like, Danny's right next to her. They're all eating kebabs.
He's calling her Mama Lassa.
Yeah.
And it's,
It's cute. She's sharing embarrassing stories about Ted and this whole thing.
Yeah, and clearly Ted's kind of like,
well, mother. He finds it weird that she's here unannounced, which is fair. Like, yeah. You should call.
Well, I mean, if you're going to, like, fly to Europe from Kansas, that's kind of...
It's a big deal. Yeah. And Rebecca basically tells him to, like, give his mom, like, the benefit, like, just... Be kind to her and you'll get it back, or something along those lines.
Yeah, it's kind of like that. So Van Damme is wearing a mask because of the Danny thing still, and they make some jokes about
Jamie
that.
Jamie compliments Van Damme, which again is, I think, like, tips off Roy that it's like, yeah, we really need to talk to
him. And Roy's like, starts yelling at Jamie, get out of the boot room. And Dottie is kind of like, what is that all about? And Beer's like, oh, shouting is Roy's
love language.
Or is it Trent? Somebody says that.
No, it wasn't Beard yet. Beard comes in later with the weird
That's
thing.
Been Trent. But Roy then yells at Jamie, and Jamie cries in the boot room, and they end up hugging. And
well, basically, Roy wants Jamie to be a prick this week because they're playing against Man City, which is his old team.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, Jamie's like, he starts crying. He says he can't eat or sleep because of the Man City match. And he's very, very nervous because he hasn't heard from his dad. His father is a huge Man City fan, more of a fan of that than his own son. Yes. And so
And he's proven that before.
Time and time again. And he says this, he's just like, it's like they've chopped off my wings. Where the fuck are my wings, Roy?
And he starts crying, and then Roy's like, all right.
This was so funny.
And Jamie also says, like, I washed my hair, but I'm not using conditioner. It's like, oh my God.
He's like, so what's the point? Yeah. Oh my God, it's so funny. It's such a great scene.
It's cute. So Beard goes in to talk to Ted, and he's like, I need to talk about how he doesn't want Nate back. And Ted's upset because his mom's so popular.
Basically, everyone but Beard is okay with Nate coming back because Higgins has it on good authority, aka the team, that
they're
Nate is willing to come back if he's asked.
Right. So we also then see that Roy has, you know, he goes AWOL for a little bit, and he goes to Keeley's office to ask for help on how to handle Jamie.
Yeah, because he doesn't know what to do.
And you look nice. You look nice.
Oh my God.
Sorry.
That's an inside joke. Don't worry about
it. Yeah, it's a family joke about a commercial that we see far too often.
Yeah. But basically, it's a bath fitter commercial, by the way. But if that says anything. But Roy is constantly telling Keely that she looks nice. And the CFO is just there kind of watching the interaction like, okay.
Clearly something's going on here.
Well, but Keely's kind of just...
She's being a little neutral, and that's something I want to talk about.
We'll talk about later.
But then we cut to the pub, and Ted's there with his mom, and his mom again is like basically holding court in the pub.
Well, she has a really good relationship with Beard.
Yeah,
so they're just kind of like catching up.
And it's Ted's turn to go play Wizard of Oz pinball. Who noticed that it was Wizard of Oz pinball before this? No one, because it hadn't been mentioned before.
There was going to be something like Wizard of Oz related. And
in the background of this scene is Elton John's Goodbye Yellow Brick Road. Like, how much Kansas Wizard of Oz shit are we going to cram into one scene?
Just wait.
wait, there can be more.
There is more.
So Beard and Mom talk about how Beard has now fallen in love with his love life. May recites a parent poem to Ted, and you see that on the pinball machine again, first time you've ever seen it.
It's Wizard of Oz.
It's Wizard of Oz, and there's a spinning house. I mean, like, the whole, like, tornado scene is basically is part of this pinball machine, which I've never seen a pinball machine like that.
Then when they're at home, when Dottie and Ted are at his house, she gives Ted the newspaper clippings from back home with like the paper coverage of him and
heavy
all
meltdown
stuff.
Yeah,
well, just in general also. But Dottie basically asks about the panic attacks, and he mentions that he has a therapist and he's doing better. And also, she briefly mentions that she likes tea, and I'm like, all right, okay. Well, now we know why you probably don't like tea, because you don't want to be associated with your mom for whatever reason.
People do these things.
Or maybe you just have different tastes. I don't know.
That happens too.
Then the team travels to Manchester.
And it's funny, because as they're getting on the bus, Jamie, instead of getting selfies with people, like, you know,
he's taking pictures of them.
He's taking pictures of them, handing the camera back, and they're all kind of like, hey, you know, they wanted the selfie.
Yeah. And also Nora is mentioned by Rebecca.
Yeah.
Briefly.
But the patrons of the Taste of Athens restaurant think that Nate left West Ham because he's on drugs.
Well, they don't know who he is, but then they assume it's drugs when the manager's like, he was the manager of West Ham. And then they're like, was it drugs that got you fired?
And he's like, no. And they're kind of like, oh, it was clearly drugs.
He's basically just reminded of his fall from grace. And Keely then talks to Jamie, which stresses him out even more.
Well, she goes to his hotel room, which again, you know, there's awkwardness in all of the interactions between Keely and Jamie in this, because of course they used to be a couple.
Well, yeah.
So that's it. I think they're trying to create possible sexual attention there, but they aren't.
I don't see that.
I don't see it either, but at the same time, they're not ruling out, because Keely's not saying no either.
No, I don't see that at all. I really don't see any of that at all. But anyway,
I'll explain a little bit.
Whatever. But she basically is like, oh yeah, well, it's, what do you have to be like stressed about? And it's just, your dad might be there and all that stuff. She's just reminding him of the reasons why he's stressed out.
Right. And he's freaked out by his suitcase and, you know, just all this weird stuff.
He says something funny about the suitcase, but I didn't write it down.
I didn't.
Anyway, then the team is having a movie night. They're watching You've Got Mail.
They have all these references to things. It's like Sense and Sensibility. References to it, but I don't see any payoff in the writing. It just is kind of like, I don't know.
Well, so, I think it's just to get the Wizard of Oz reference.
Yeah, the Somewhere Over the Rainbow being the song.
Yeah, Danny comments on Roy and Keely sitting next to each other, and they're just like, oh, it's as friends. I'm like, fuck you. And then
Sam and Rebecca make eye contact.
Make eye contact when the couple is, when Meg Ryan says, I wanted it to be, or is it Tom Hanks? I don't know. I've never seen You Got Mail. I know who's in it, but otherwise. Yeah. But it's I wanted it to be you part. Everyone's crying. Sam and Rebecca look at each other and I went, ah!
Right. And the thing about it, like,
I'm sorry for headphones.
And I will, I wanted to back up just a little bit, but the person who says, oh, we're just here as friends, is Keely.
Yeah.
And then, you know, when they get to that point, Roy's crying, Keely's asleep on his shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
So after the movie, Jamie starts to go walkabout, and Roy and Keely follow him.
Which is such a cute little...
It's cute in a way, but again, I feel like, well...
I don't know if I wrote this just like on my own, like figured it out on my own, but, or it was in the show, but I was like, this section is called The Pricketing. And I really don't know if that was me or not.
I think that's you.
I think it might have been me. And then because Jamie spits off of a bridge onto a car, and I'm just like, that's so awful. What are you doing?
Right. As they're walking down on the street, there's a big moon, like in Sleepless in Seattle. I keep thinking that they're going to have some payoff, like in some of these Meg Ryan type romance novels, but they just don't.
Because they've done When Harry Met Sally before.
Right. So they go down a subway tunnel, like a Dementor tunnel.
Also, Keely's trying to be more of a spy than Roy is. Like, Roy's just walking normally while Keely is running around.
She's trying to be a spy, but she's got this giant, bright pink fur jacket.
While Roy is wearing all black, so he actually does blend in better. Like, it's just so funny how inverse all they are. Mm-hmm. They lose Jamie, but he sneaks up on them in the Dementor tunnel, and Jamie gets, he's just like, fine, just come with me.
Right.
And Jamie gets yelled at by children, and Roy approves.
Yeah,
and
they trash talk at big time.
Because they're Manchester City fans. And yeah. Jamie is visiting his mom and his stepdad. Jamie gets comforted like a child by his mom. And Simon, his stepdad, made a Paul Hollywood recipe, another Great British Baking Show reference on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's funny.
But yeah, they notice that Jamie's really having daddy issues and wants to talk to his mom.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere in here, there is a very quick scene with Jade telling Nate he needs to go back to Richmond.
Mm-hmm.
But Jamie talks to his mother about, you know, his hair color and how people have gotten it, described it incorrectly, and he's having daddy issues. Roy and Keeley, to get out of the way, go upstairs to Jamie's room, and they see that Jamie has a furry Roy poster from back in the day.
Yeah.
And a Keeley poster where she's like topless
and covering her breasts with the soccer balls.
And the mom, you know, like tells Jamie he's amazing.
And how proud she is of him, and how he doesn't have anything to prove to his dad.
But here's one of the things that I noticed, and this is part of the reason I don't like the way they're playing this. So Roy and Keeley are sitting on Jamie's bed, and they're talking about their relationship, and Roy's like,
talking about their relationship, they're just being awkward. They're
talking about the fact that it is awkward, and which part is awkward? We're here and we're comforting Jamie and blah blah blah. And they and Roy says, look, I don't want to just be friends, and he's holding her hand. Jamie walks in and Keeley snatches her hand away.
Well, Keeley also was about to answer and looks a bit like hesitant.
Yeah,
exactly. And I'm like, fuck you. Well, okay, but not really fuck Keeley, but like, fuck the writers for doing this to me.
Right. I don't like it.
But just dangling a fucking carrot.
Well, and I want to say one other thing. Earlier in this, as soon as Roy meets Jamie's mom, she's hot, and he's like clearly like a little flirtatious with her. And so when they go to leave the house, he's like going in for a hug, and Keeley's like, no, I mean, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Again, it's kind of like there's jealousy, but there's also, I don't want you, but I don't want you to want anyone else. It's kind of like,
it's such a double standard.
It's just bullshit.
And then Keeley, we're back at Ted's hotel room. Keeley's on the hotel channel because she's on every hotel channel.
Yeah.
No, she's not. But then Dottie, he's texting with his mom. Dottie wishes she went to the game instead of not, because she chose not to. Then we go to
Nancy. The game,
and the arena is packed with Man City fans. Then they boo Jamie, and the Man City players are really aggressive towards him in particular.
Yeah.
Nate watches the game at the restaurant. Then they score. I think
Nate's not even working. He's just watching the game and telling him what to do.
Yeah. Jamie assists, and I think, who scores? Is it Danny? Or is it Sam?
Well, Van Damme's making amazing saves.
Well, that happens later.
I think it might be Sam. I think.
Or no, it was Colin, wasn't it?
I don't remember.
It wasn't Jamie.
It wasn't Jamie. But, he makes assist.
Yeah, Van Damme is saving a lot of goals incredibly. Then Jamie saves a goal but hurts his ankle.
And he's limping, and he's trying to play on it anyway.
And he goes off to the sidelines, but they wait on a substitution. Uh-huh. They don't do a substitution. They decide to have 10 players play, not 11.
Right, because when the strategy is that he might be able to come back in, like, you know, he needs briefly. Just a little bit of time. It's a sprain or something. And Ted talks to him, goes away, and then, you know, they play, like, they have a couple plays, and then Ted comes back to him. This takes way, way, way too long, in my opinion. Because, and again, it's one of these kind of bloated speeches from Ted. There are a couple of them.
We'll get to that in a second. Nate's manager fires him because Jade told him to fire Nate, or she'll report him to some organization.
Yeah, it's probably like, you know, he's like either stealing money or got immigration issues.
Either way, Ted talks to Jamie. He says Jamie says he can't see his dad in the stands because he's kind of looking for him because it's just his instinct. And Ted's like, well, if you did see your dad, what would you say? And he said, fuck you and thank you. Mm-hmm. And that will come back later. Jamie mm-hmm. goes back onto the field and feeds off of the booze that they're like, the fans are giving him. He's like, yeah, I am a prick or whatever. It's just whatever. He's feeding off of it. Jamie scores, but you don't see the actual score. You see just his and his family's reactions, which is nice.
Right. So Jamie then gets subs out.
To recover.
He gets an ovation from the Man City fans.
Out of respect.
Right. But we don't really see it. We just hear the pundits talking about it. And then, you know, you get the sense like that some of Jamie's dad's friends are in the crowd. They start talking like he's dead. But then
see that he's in rehab.
Yeah,
I'm like, what?
So whatever. Yeah. So, and Richmond wins. And part of the discussion, like Rebecca and Higgins are talking about.
Well, to be clear, they win, and the title is I'm sorry, Mom. I was just explaining that Richmond wins and the title will come down to the final match, probably against West Ham.
Right. So when the match started, Blue Moon was playing and Rebecca and Higgins were talking about, oh, we need to get a good old school song that everyone can sing, sing to. And apparently Freddie Mercury had at one point owned the Richmond team, and they tried to get Fat Bottom Girls, but it never became popular. And so at the end of the match, they play Fat Bottom Girls, which, yay, it's so cute. It's a callback.
And then the Man City coach is very polite. Basically, like, he has the same goals as Ted does, like, make the players the best they can be on and off the field. And then Ted goes to, like, turns to Beard, and they kind of go crazy. Like, they're very excited. Then Ted is going to dinner with his mom instead of going to karaoke with the team.
But he and Beard talk, because Beard wants to, you know, has already reserved islands in the stream for him and Ted to do. and he's like, no, my mom's cooking dinner or whatever. And then, you know, they have a discussion about bringing Nate back.
And they watch the whole clip.
Right. They watch the whole clip of what Nate did, you know, when he's supposed to, when he tore up the sign. And it turns out that he had to, like, hide from the team and was got locked in and had, you know, had trouble, like,
a lot of antics.
A lot of antics went into him, like, finally being able to leave the locker room without being seen or beaten up. And what Ted says is, you know, people shouldn't be judged by their weakest moments, or rather than their strength in a second chance.
And then,
that really clearly, you can tell it has meaning to Beard.
And we'll find out later. Why. And then they, then Jamie texts his dad while he's in recovery, like, he's putting ice, he's in an ice bath with it. Well, he has his ankle in an ice bath. And he texts his dad, like, hey, hope you're doing well, all that stuff. He wants to get back in touch with him just to have closure. And Roy and Keely come in and they celebrate with him with a bottle of champagne. And they're, like, getting along pretty well as an interesting trio, which could have been explored in the entire season, but no.
Nate tells, then we see Nate telling Jade that he's writing an apology letter.
It is 60 pages long.
And he wants her to, like, help him edit it. But Beard shows up like Freddy Krueger in the background.
So funny.
It is hilarious. And Beard gives basically the Beard and Ted backstory. And essentially what happened was that Beard
They knew each other in college.
Right. They knew each other in college. You know, Ted goes on to, you know, do fairly normal things like become an assistant coach and whatever. But in football, they both played football together, like American football together.
Yeah.
But Beard went on and became an addict. He went to prison. He got out of prison. Ted took him in. He stole Ted's car. And then it's basically like a Les Mis situation where Ted talks the police out of prosecuting.
Well, okay. What happens is, yeah, he steals his car without, like, from, he doesn't ask, like, Ted to, like, use his car. He literally steals it.
Yeah.
And so he's, like, on his way, and then the police catch him, and then it's a whole thing. But Ted was, he was lucky enough that Ted showed up when he did, and he talked them out. He was like, oh, no, I let him borrow the car. And again, literally Les Mis. And they remark on that, which I love. And because I think Nate says, wait, I don't know if I wrote it down, but either way, he says, that's literally just Les Mis.
And then Beard basically forgives Nate and offers him a job. And Nate says, thank you. And he says, you should probably headbutt me. And it ends up being very gentle. And he hugs him.
It's very sweet.
And Jay's like, yeah.
And she listens while eating a kebab. Okay. And Ted asks his mom basically why she's in London. And she's just like, oh, I just kind of wanted to. Whatever.
She did all the mom things. She decorated. She cooked, you know, a couple of different favorites.
She cleaned up.
She cleaned up all the stuff. She's got candles.
Well, he says, fuck you for not wanting to talk, and thank you. And it basically, like, it's the thank you, fuck you that Jamie mentioned.
Yeah.
And he just, like, he has this string of, like, things that he says that it's like, thank you for doing this, but fuck you for not doing this, or for not, like,
talking about how after his father committed suicide,
they didn't talk about it.
Right. And she acted like everything was fine and expected him to act that way too. And it just was
not healthy. And for not, like, not necessarily not being there for him, but just like not being open to talking about it, and not being able to grieve. Well, obviously she was grieving in her own way, but like you need to get past the denial stage at some point. Yeah. And so then Dottie basically says she's sorry, and that his, and also that Henry misses him like at home. And Ted's like, I know. And like, I've, and I feel so bad every single time I have to watch that kid leave. Like I leave. It's just painful. We all know he's going back to fucking Kansas.
Right, exactly. No one's confused. And we all of course, know. There's still more that comes later. But yeah. So then we cut to Rebecca's house.
Oh, yeah.
There is a ring at the doorbell, and Bex,
I think you said something along the lines of, it better be Sam or something.
Yeah, I don't know. I wanted to be Sam. It was Bex. And Rupert's former assistant, like clearly they just want to ask for advice, like what to do about Rupert.
Yeah. Then Dottie leaves Ted a note
with Sunflower Seed Bread. Yeah, his favorite.
Basically, it's just a thank you and
better sunflower. Well,
sunflower is Kansas's state flower.
Yeah, we saw a lot of sunflowers, didn't we? In the whole Amsterdam episode.
And Rebecca basically reveals to Ted that she has nothing to reveal to Ted this year as a truth bomb. But Ted has one, and they don't say what it is, and then it cuts to black, but we all know what it is.
Right, and in the cut to black, the song that they're playing is The Wiz.
From The Wiz.
Yeah. Surprise! Any other surprises? No. All right, so what is your best part?
I have a couple. Jamie. I really like Jamie in this episode. Jamie's mom and stepdad. I love his stepdad in particular. I love his energy, his little baker, and like just, I like Paul Hollywood recipes. It's just, it's so cute. Ted and Dottie, I like that they have that conversation at the end. And Beard, I like learning a little bit about Beard without it being an entire fucking episode. And even though we didn't even learn anything about Beard in that episode. Those are the things also Roy. Roy and Keeley at least being there for Jamie, like in that way, especially Roy, like he's come a long way with Jamie, and I think that him like really caring about his well-being and how he's feeling, it's nice to see. And them forming a little odd trio is fun, but again, why wasn't this earlier in the season? I think, and this is getting to worse parts, but I think I understand, Mom, and we'll get to that in a minute. I think that this episode should have been, much like the last episode or whatever, should have been way earlier in the season. Like, I don't mind the episode as a contained episode. I just think that we should have known, like, have this conclusion or these plot lines.
I don't know if I should talk about it now or talk about it.
Do your best parts first.
I have one best part. That's Jamie.
That's it?
Yep.
Really? Nothing else?
Yes.
We have very different views of this episode.
Yes, we do. What were your worst part? Well, now, can I talk about worst parts since I have more worst parts?
Sure. Shouldn't I do mine really quickly and then you expand on yours? Rushing with Nate. What the fuck was that? Like, why does the team, like, just are okay with this suddenly? Like, they were so aggressive before, and now it's just like, oh yeah, he can come back. We haven't talked to Ted about this, but this is not prompted at all. It's like, but why the fuck are you doing this? And basically his redemption with the team, it's a long episode. Keely being interrupted and could be saying no. What the fuck was that? why? That's all I have.
Okay, well, my worst part, of course, in the bigger view is it's long, it's bloated. You start introducing characters that have never existed on the show before for no fucking reason, right? So you've got Ted's mom shows up to, like, what, talk about Kansas? We don't need Ted's mom on this show. We don't need Jamie's mom on this show. We don't need Jamie's stepdad on this show. We don't need, like, all of these excess people just randomly doing riffs on things. I just feel like we've lost the plot, really. But you know, one of the bigger issues to me is, if we were going to do this way, you could have had like the first episode, the Amsterdam episode, the episode right before this episode, and one other, break them into 30-minute increments, and that could be a season. That didn't happen. And I think feel like there's just a lot of unnecessary crap. Nate working at the restaurant, completely unnecessary. Jamie's mom, it's just pointless. The movie night was pointless. Again, when they've done movie nights before, there was a point to showing this specific movie.
The Iron Giant.
Right. It was to show that the team could cry together, blah, blah, blah. And there was an emotional connection between them. But we're not doing any of that anymore. And it's not fun anymore. I mean, this bullshit of Keely might get back with him, might not get back with him. That should have been 3-4 episodes ago. If you're still playing that game now, I'm not playing along.
I'm not interested.
I'm not interested in playing the games. And they're not even developing it well. Like, if that was, you know, a real string along kind of thing, that should get more airtime, and it's not.
Well, the thing is, I think that Keely, like, if she is completely in the right for, like, having to think this through. But the fact that they decide to introduce the idea of them getting back together last episode, 3 episodes away from the end of the series. And
now she's playing games?
Yeah, and now she's being like, oh, maybe not. I'm like, fuck you. Why did you literally just do that one thing for fan service? Because that's fucking stupid. And I felt like Ted Lasso was better than that.
Well, it's not. And I think that that's what's disappointing to me. This season is a real disappointment to me because I feel like this could have ended more sharply and had us more engaged had it been edited better. And it just isn't.
I agree that I wish that they had like the more bite-sized whatever episodes, and there should be less bloating. Like, there were several characters that, like, again, it would be one thing if they introduced these characters because it kind of makes sense for them to be there in the grand scheme of things to help with the plot.
Right.
But yeah. Shandy and
Zaba,
Jack.
It's like those were just bullshit.
Yeah, they were not necessary. Like, Jamie's mom could help with the plot line for Jamie. Makes sense to me. Roy's sister, it's Phoebe's mom. Awesome, but at least it's kind of tied into the plot, not just a random fucking person.
But again, to be fair, like Phoebe's teacher now has just become a complete rando. Like, why is this person even here?
Well, I mean, she was kind of random in the second season.
Right, exactly. But you got the sense like, oh, this could be a, you know, like if Roy and Keely broke up, where's she been all season? Is it possible something? Non-existent? I mean, it's just, the whole thing is just, it's lost the plot. I would like to see Rebecca singing.
She sang this season.
Yeah, no, what I mean is singing. Whatever happened to my part? Because again, it's a good question. Whatever happened to Rebecca's part?
Well, she was pretty like prominent at the beginning-ish.
She had that episode with Rupert, but that was bloated too. I mean, that could have been handled differently. And I just feel like we have gotten into speechifying or, you know, tangents, and they don't, or you know, we're dropping these hints like, oh, let's talk about You've Got Mail, but we're not going to close that up in any way. Oh, let's talk about, you know, whatever musical, or, you know, we're going to talk about Loja Vaz like 8,000 fucking times, but we're not going to close that either.
Well, we know how that's going to close though, Mom. We know that he wants to go back to Kansas. That's basically it.
Well, right. But again, as many times as it's been referenced in this season, it's like, get on with it.
It hasn't really been referenced that often, but in this episode, yeah, it was often. I think another, I will like to clarify, this is not the worst season of television ever.
No.
By
no,
any
the worst
means.
Season of Ted Lasso.
I agree with that because it, like, the problem with, like, having great writers and, like, having great seasons and all that stuff is that you're setting a precedent for yourself. And what we expect is not what we got.
Right. And right. I gave this episode a B-.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I gave it an A- because I genuinely love Jamie in this episode.
Right. And I get it.
I think we needed a Jamie-centric episode at some point, like about this trauma. But the fact that they like very, very briefly mentioned the dad, like just
seriously made it sound like he was dead.
And then it was like, oh no, I'm in rehab. And I'm just like, Why didn't they like have this earlier?
Well, right. And I mean, it really had been almost set up like he was going to be dead, and it wasn't. And whatever.
I was like, what the fuck is this?
It's bizarre.
I mean, I really liked all of that.
I did not give this episode an F like I did with episodes of The Crown. So.
Episode of The Crown. But it's. I do agree that it is bloated for sure. Like this whole season is. This episode, mm-hmm. I didn't mind the bloatedness as much because at least it was a bit entertaining. Mm-hmm. But again, that's objective. Yeah, like
it's subjective.
Subjective. Again, very long day, but I think that I found the bloating with Jamie more entertaining than the bloating with Keely or.
Oh yeah, no, I agree. Bloating with Jack. Oh my God.
But I also think. I know, but like the whole thing, I understand where you're coming from with the whole like Ted's mom is not a necessary character. It's completely true. She's not.
They could have done that in a phone call. They could have done that whole thing in a phone call.
Yeah, I think that there should have been like I liked how it ended. Like I was the entire episode, I was thinking, well, what is this building to? Like, what big revelation does he need from his mom? And he doesn't even get it from his mom. He got it from Jamie and his trauma. So okay, I'm just kind of like, okay,
phone call would have been fine.
But I mean. And again, she didn't even go to the match, so it didn't even matter that she was there.
Right.
So, I mean, I liked how it ended and how she
was just... I get the feeling that this is an actress that they're all, oh, I like you. Let's put you on the show. You know?
I don't know, Mom. Like, I don't know the inner workings. Fine. But I don't know. There were a couple of, again, I totally agree these could have been, like, broken up in some way and added like a couple things here and there for like other things, whatever. I don't know. I found this one more entertaining, but the fact that it's the second to last episode doesn't make any sense to me. Yeah. Because why is this? Why?
Why? I just feel like we're going to be going out with a whimper, and I hate that for this show because I think it could have ended more cleanly.
Well, speaking of how we think it's going to end, mm-hmm. What are your predictions?
Well, I think again, I'm back to the same predictions that I've had since the first episode, which are Ted's going back to Kansas, Nate's coming back to Richmond, obviously.
That was decided. Like right. He's going back to Richmond. Right.
Keely and Roy, and the team's going to beat West Ham in one of these final matches, and that Keely and Roy are going to end up getting back together.
They better, because yeah, if they dangled that fucking carrot in front of me and was just like, oh yeah, the third to last episode, we're going to have them have sex, and I was like, great, awesome, that was initiated by Keely, she clearly wants this, and it's just like, oh no, she doesn't.
She didn't mean it, right, yeah.
What the fuck, and also that's just cruel.
Right, I mean.
To Roy.
But again, at the beginning of the whole introduction of Keely, I didn't like her as a character, and I'm back to, I don't really like her very much.
Well, I grew to like her, and then she became this ditz again. And
she without my substance. Hold on. But anyway, the point being that I feel like I don't know what's going to be part of the Rebecca and Sam thing, if anything. It doesn't feel like anything.
Well, I think they're going to do something. I mean, they have that significant look, so I think they're going to get at least a little bit of something.
It's a bit, you know, too little too late for me. I mean,
they're not going to have a whole fucking storyline, but at least they're probably going to have like a little tag or something.
Like a kiss or something. Mm-hmm.
Something like that to like tease, oh, we're going to be okay in the future or whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
That's fine.
I don't know. I mean, that's what I predict. Do you have any other predictions?
Well, yeah. I mean, Ted's going to get back to Kansas. If Keely and Roy don't get back together, I'm going to be very upset because of that fucking carrot. Nate's coming back and he's going to replace Ted. I don't know what's going to go on. I really don't. If I guess, then it's probably not going to happen. Like anything good that I want, I don't think it's going to happen. No. So I mean, that's just the reality of it, because if Roy and Keeley don't get back together, like, then what's the fucking point of them having sex? Because if you think about it, that is the worst thing that she could have done.
I agree. Let's have a one night stand. Yay.
Without to set the scene, he bears his heart out to her, being like, it was not your problem. It was mine.
I'm sorry.
I'm so sorry. I love you.
I love you. I don't want to just be friends. And then she gives him nothing.
Absolutely nothing. And then she's like, thank you. And then she starts to leave. She's like, oh, no, wait, let's have sex. And then he's just like, oh yeah, I'm here. I'm in the bathrobe and all that stuff. He shows up to her work to ask about Jamie, and she's awkward. And then they're like talking to each other in this bedroom awkwardly, like being like, oh yeah, bud and pal or whatever. And then he's just like, I really just don't want to be friends with you. Like, I can't be friends with you, which is valid. I mean, right. Come on. Some exes just can't be friends. Like, that's just how right. It is. And given their history and like how they are as people at this point and how like good they are for each other, like,
or could be for each other. At one time, and who the fuck knows anymore.
Yeah. And it then her not. I can understand her wanting to think about it for a little bit longer, but we don't have longer, and right. They don't even say it. So I'm just like, okay, well, we don't know.
Feel like, fuck all this shit.
Right? And then she's just like, I choose my company. I'm like, okay, but you can still run a company and have a boyfriend. You did it with a girlfriend who was an awful person. So you can do it. Like, that's not out of the realm of possibility. You literally had a go. That, again, that was another thing of like, oh, I can't be with you in like Spain for 6 weeks. It's like,
dumb.
What the fuck, Keely?
Yeah, it was.
If she does not get back together with him or give him a definitive answer of what she wants them to be, and if it's not in the affirmative or in the like in the future soon or whatever, like, let me get this off the ground. Like last time, just give me like 2 weeks. I will be back. Promise.
I don't even.
That would be stupid too. But if it's not okay in the affirmative. That whole scene is so fucked up on her end.
Yeah.
If she didn't mean it, why the fuck did you do it? And get his hopes up. Like, that's just so fucked up if they did that. Like, I'm gonna be so mad.
Girl power?
No, that's just awful.
It is.
That is just terrible. Oh my God.
That's abusive. And I don't care whether you're a male or female, that's abusive. Like, so, Whatever, that's my opinion, but if they do that,
I'm going to be so upset.
Well, let's hope that that doesn't happen. And let's hope that we find out in the next episode, because if they don't, like, tie up these loose ends, I'm going to be seriously fucking pissed. In any case.
As far as we know, this is the last episode of the series.
This next one, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. What the fuck? Just come on.
Yeah. Get your act together, people. In case Jason Sudeikis hasn't written the last episode and gives a shit about our input, this is our input. But I'm
sure. Yeah, no, like, if it's going to be a live episode, like, please take our stuff into consideration.
Jason right, Sudeikis. Which we know is not going to happen. But
and Brett Goldstein and, oh my God, the guy. Oh my gosh, I feel bad that I don't
see. So anyway, we hope that this gets resolved. We hope that we have a happy ending that we can discuss next week on Buzz Binging. And we hope that you join us. And
cheers.